Hey, I'm Jack Paul.
Yo, 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 it's your boy Travis J.
It's Darren Isaacs.
Hey, this is DJ Hannibal in the mix.
Hey, Soul Nation, this is IFBB Pro, Neil Hamilton.
This is Kadar Clark.
Hey, what's up, you guys? This is your boy Nate from Nate Bates.
What's up, beautiful people? It's your boy Stack.
Family, how you doing? It's your boy Todd Marshall, your next generation leader and your musical entrepreneur.
This is Addis Hyland, founder of the Bahamian Icon Awards, and you're listening to
It's Your Time to Soar.
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 You're tuned into It's Your Time to Soar.
It's your time to soar.
It's your time to soar.
With my brother, Felici Ranger.
Hello and welcome to It's Your Time to Soar. If this is your first time tuning in, know to be inspired, motivate, and impact. Welcome back, Soar Nation. And on this episode today, we have with us an awesome gentleman. This gentleman is a creative the director of Sherrod L Photography. He is the newest Elevation Award winner of Photographer of the Year. We're actually trying to get him for a while now on our podcast, but he has been so busy doing his creative work, because he just recently completed his first round of pro headshots that was actually a major success. He's actually going to do another week of it. I don't want to give too much information, but I want to invite the Soar Nation, Mr. Sherrod Lightburn. Welcome to Soar Nation.
Thank you, man. Thanks for having me. That was an awesome introduction.
So I got one question for you. Are you ready to take flight?
I am. I'm always ready to take flight. I always tell people, like, I don't need an excuse to go on a plane. So if we take a flight, let's go.
Let's rock and roll. And Soar Nation, as I told you, for this whole month, this month we're going to be honoring fathers, and our theme is empowerment. You know, it rhymes with empowerment. Empowerment. You know, it's something I came up with, because if any of you listening know my wife, she always comes up with catchy phrases. And persons, after they heard this, they actually thought I got it from her. But I actually created this one myself.
Nice.
Empowerment. Nice. I said, got him. But Sherrod, for everyone in Soar Nation who's listening, who doesn't know who you are, which I find hard to believe at this point, if you ask me. That's just my humble opinion. Can you give us just a brief bio?
Well, I've been a photographer now for about almost 12 years, almost a dozen years. Uh-huh. When I think about it, that's a little bit of a long time to be, you know, working for myself.
Right.
And, you know, I've been able to do a lot of things with my work, been able to meet a lot of people with my work, and I've been able to, you know, achieve some level of success, and I've been able to get a lot of opportunities just based on the work that I've done. You know, I've always tried to be different, always tried to be creative, think right. outside the box. And so, you know, I've shot all over the country, parts of the US, Canada, Caribbean. My work has taken me far and wide.
Right.
So, you know, that's just, you know, I love what I do. Right. And I love to mentor, and I love to talk about what I do, because I love what I do, and I believe that if I can influence or impact someone's life because they want to do something similar, you know, I don't have a problem talking about what I do, and that's what I love. You know, I always tell people one of the biggest benefits of being a photographer is
right.
the people that you meet, your network. You get to grow your network every day, every time you pick up your camera.
Right.
And so, you know, with that comes, you know, mentorship. With that comes mm-hmm. speaking engagements. With that comes teaching opportunities.
Right.
So, I mean, the camera's taken me places that I would have never even imagined I would have been able to do, you know, in this lifetime at least. So, you know, that's just a little bit about me and what I've been able to do and still continue to do.
Right, right. So I'm thinking 12 years ago had to have been somewhere about 2007, maybe 2006, 2007-ish, right?
Mm-hmm. 7-ish, yeah.
Yeah, and you correct me if I'm wrong, but that's actually during the time, you know, there wasn't any selfies, there wasn't any smartphones for people person to say, hey, I'm pretty good at using my iPhone.
Yeah.
Let me upgrade to this. How did you start? I mean, did someone put a camera in your hand? How did you figure out, say, hey, you know what?
I mean, a lot of people don't really know this story. Only those that I tell, you know, how I got into photography.
Right.
You know, I was awarded an opportunity to go off to college. Mm-hmm. You know, I went to study graphic design because that's what I really loved doing.
Right.
I was always like artsy, and I always was creative. Even in high school, I took art class. Community college, I did art again. I did a little bit of graphic design in community college, and that's where I really developed a love for graphic design.
Right.
And you know, when you learn what the elements and you learn the foundation of graphic design is, basically how do you tell a story? How do you get from one point to the next?
Right.
How do you develop the story? And your final product has to be a complete something of an idea that you would have had.
Right.
And in this particular field, you do it graphically. So, you know, in my field of study, there was a particular term when we had electives to take. One of the electives was advanced web design or something like that.
Right.
And then the other one was photography. And my friend, my close friend, her and I had this pact that any class we sign up for, we make sure we sign up for the same class together. So we go into class at least knowing or having a familiar face with us to push and support and be in the class.
Right.
So she wanted to do photography and I wanted to do web design because web was taking off, you know, you had Flash, you had animation, and websites was the big thing.
Right.
So I wanted to do that because that's what I thought that was really cool. She wanted to do photography. Mm-hmm. We went back and forth for a while until we had to literally do rock, paper, scissors for it. Obviously, I lost and I ended up taking photography and I had no interest in it back then because I didn't really... There wasn't a connection for me.
Right.
I was
right.
doing it because I had lost the bet or I lost the game, and I was doing it because I was a man of my word.
Right.
You know, and even in the class itself, technically I was horrible. And we learned not on a digital platform, we learned when you had to go into a dark room and develop film.
Right.
And I, you know, I'm not the most patient person, and I didn't get it.
Right.
So maybe the first two or three assignments, I didn't do very well because I wasn't applying myself.
Right.
You know, and I almost dropped the class because I didn't want my GPA to be affected. You know, but my professor said, you know, I think you have the right ideas. You just need to apply yourself technically, which I ended up doing. I ended up passing the class with an A, did a really cool project. Still wasn't interested in it. So fast forward, you know, I graduate. My mom buys me a digital camera for a graduation present.
Right.
Back then, those cameras were doing 5 megapixels.
Right.
But that was a big deal. That was a big deal, you know, to take a picture and it's instantly on the camera.
Right.
That was a big deal.
Right.
So I moved back home, got a job right away as a graphic designer, worked for one company for about a year, and then moved up to like a higher position with another company that I wanted to work for a long time. Mm-hmm. And I became an art director there, so I ran the entire graphics department. So,
right.
You know, I'm making a lot of money, doing really well. I'm young. Mm-hmm. You know, I moved out of my parents' house within a year, moving back home. My dad was really happy about that.
Right.
You know, I was paying my bills. I could feed myself. You know, I bought a car. You know, I was doing really well. But I was in a corporate environment.
Right.
Didn't feel like it was... After some point, I got over it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, I got over the fact that, yes, you're making a lot of money, but no, you're not being able to be as creative as you want to be.
Right.
Because it's a very structured environment. It's very, do what we tell you to do.
Right.
So one thing led to the next. You know, my grandmother, who was very close to me, she passed away. Maybe the second year I'd gotten this big position, I get all my creativity from, because she was an interior designer.
Right.
My grandfather was an architect. My dad is in finance and my mom was in education and nursing.
Right.
So I never looked to them for like creativity at all. So my grandmother passed away and that really hurt me because that's the first time I'd ever experienced someone that close to me. We were very, very close.
Right.
And when she passed away, that left a huge gap, you know, in who I was. And so I believe that I looked for something to fill it.
Right.
Right. And so the camera was there. I hadn't picked it up. I started picking it up and I started taking pictures of random stuff.
Right.
And then that took me back to my college days where I had actual projects. And it wasn't until I showed a colleague of mine, you know, my work, and he said, you know, you should really look into this.
Right.
It so happened, he was traveling. A young woman had contacted him to take photos of her. Mm. He referred her to me.
Right.
I shot her, and the big social media platform was High Five.
High Five.
She put the photos on High Five, and the rest is history. I mean, her friend saw it. One of her friends contacted me. I shot her friend. Her friend put her photos up. One of her friends saw it and contacted me, and it was like a never-ending cycle.
Right.
And it pushed my work to the point where it started to be seen in the public. And then I, you know, the newspapers did stories about me, and my name just started to grow and grow and grow. And then I just had to decide. I made a decision to leave my job to do it full time.
Full time.
And that was about almost 12 years ago.
Wow.
Yeah.
So if we can just go go back just a little bit to before you went to college and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
We're just gonna touch this just for a minute. Like what type of person do you think you were doing high school days? Do you think you're easily influenced? Do you think what type?
I mean, everybody's easily influenced in high school. High school is like, you know, what you see in the movies is how high school is. So you have your cliques.
Right.
You have all the sporty guys, all the guys who I wasn't very sporty in high school. I did PE.
Right.
But, you know, I wasn't on the basketball team, mm-hmm. I wasn't on the softball team, I didn't run track, I did my work, and that was it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I had friends. I wasn't necessarily a loner, but I never stood out, you know. I was friendly with everybody.
Right.
You know, and I didn't have any, you know, I wasn't an outcast. I didn't feel like an outcast in high school. I was cool with everybody, you know.
Right, yeah.
But I loved art.
Right.
Like, I loved art. That was one of my favorite classes in high school, was art. And I liked to draw, like, comic book characters and, like, doodles. I would doodle all in my textbooks and my notebooks, and I would get in so much trouble, I remember. But I was always a big fan of being artistic, and I would help, like, you know, when we did school plays or we had events, I was always there helping, like, my art teacher, like, put up props and design things that we would paint and construct. So I always liked, you know, art. So I was fine with that, right? I did my work. I went to school. My parents made sure that, you know, my education was first, and that was what my focus was.
Right.
You know, and I wasn't an outcast, but then I wasn't the most popular kid either, which I didn't really care about.
Right.
But I was cool with everybody, so I was cool.
Right.
And, you know, so, you know, high school, I mean, looking back, high school is high school, you know.
Right.
You know, you like the pretty girls, but they don't like you back because you're not the most popular.
Right.
And, you know, I mean, high school is high school, man.
Right.
It is what it is.
Trust me, it's the same all around.
Yeah, all around.
What you see basically on TV. Basically,
exactly. That's exactly how school, how high school is. Yeah.
No, you're absolutely right about that. So, branding. I want you to give us some of your brief thoughts on branding, and I just want you to touch on the pro headshots event that you held.
Right.
This was actually the third one, maybe six.
Yeah.
Time going that fast. Six.
Yeah. Six.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Six.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, my degree in graphic design helped me a lot to get the job that I wanted to get.
Mm-hmm.
And in this position, I helped to strengthen the brands of a lot of corporate companies in the Bahamas.
Mm-hmm.
Every designer had accounts where they would manage, design, produce, materials for specific companies, but because I was the director of the department, I had more of the high end, more of the more important accounts that the company held. And so I was always doing branding, right? And then when I started working for myself, there was no sort of learning curve for me. It was just a matter of applying what I'd already learned, what I'd already practiced my whole college life and career, my whole work career, into now what do I want to say for myself. And, you know, people took notice of that. People took notice of how I was presenting my name and my work and my website. And it got a lot of attention, you know. And I then understood how important it was to present yourself and your company a certain way. And just from branding, or this term branding, all stems from good graphic design or good design. Certain elements that you portray in your work and in your company, with its symbols, with its presentation, image, everything, all comes from, you know, a background where that's where I've been formally trained. So, you know, working for myself, you know, I did a lot of logos for people. I helped people start their businesses and come up with a logo and a face and a design for their businesses. And just evolving as an artist and as a creative person, always improving on my own branding. And then becoming a photographer, and then it becoming twofold. So not only could I do the graphic communication, but I could do the imagery to add to it. And so that became a very big thing. And then, you know, industry, you know, changes. It changes with the time. So even in Nassau, things have changed a lot. People now understand the power of branding. They understand the importance of how it is to present yourself to an audience. Social media makes that tenfold. Especially when you realize that you can actually make money from it. So that's what I you know, I've done for a while. And I've, like I said before, I've always tried to stay ahead of the curve. I travel a lot, and I learn. I like to learn a lot. And so Pro Headshots came about because I really got tired of seeing people putting up for their brand or business pages on social media a selfie, or their friend took a picture of them, they look pretty, or they're well dressed, and they use it as a professional image, especially on sites like LinkedIn, which is predominantly for professionals and networking. People would have up, you know, a selfie, you know, and I would just, I'm like, this can't be. Like, what can I do to help this? Because, you know, there are people who just talk and talk and talk, but I like to act. I like to do. So I said, well, what can I do to, like, to improve this, to give persons an opportunity to actually have a professional image of themselves that they can use on their website, that they can use for speaking engagements, that they can use as a bio photo, that they can use on LinkedIn or Facebook or Instagram, that says, I am a business and this is what I do and I am a professional. And I just decided, you know, well, headshots. Let me research headshots. I did my research, looked at some of the other photographers around the world who were doing similar things. And I said, okay, I think I can do this at home. And so I started to do it. And I would offer it, you know, at a very low premium because I wanted it to attract a wide audience. And the first event went really well. The demand started to grow. People would ask, when are you doing this again? When are you doing this again? And, you know, we're very reactive. So I would shoot a group of 30 people. Those 30 people would get 2 to 3 images. They would post them everywhere. People would get their photos back and love them. So they would want to show them off. So they post them on Facebook, on Instagram, everywhere that they have a business profile, they would post these images. And so their friends and their friends' friends and those networks that include their friends and their friends and their friends would all see these images. Who did your photo? Who took your photo? Who took your photo? So it would all come back. So by doing this, you know, the last 4, 5, 6 years, the demand grew exponentially to the point where I started to do entire companies. You know, and companies would hear about me because someone worked at the company who had a friend that I would have shot a professional headshot of.
Right.
You know, so I started, I had created a separate brand for that.
Right.
Because the work that I was getting from that, you know, at the end of the day, I'm a lifestyle and portrait photographer. That's what I really, really love. Mm. But headshots, being one foot in the corporate world and still one foot in the creative world,
right,
allowed me to create a business model that could prove to be profitable because there was a need for it.
Right.
Right. No one was really doing it on that type of level.
Right.
And then to charge for, you know, specific costs for that for corporate companies, then I could still kind of turn around and do an event like a Pro Headshots weekend,
right,
lower my prices, attract more people so that when they put their images out,
right,
it would come back again,
right?
So it's like a machine, you know.
Definitely.
And so that's kind of how that brand took off, you know, just persons being able to use a professional photo when the need you know, when they had a need for it or when the opportunity came to them.
Yeah, trust me, you are definitely absolutely right about that. I remember our first time using you for a pro headshots. I think that was it 2014. Was I married yet? Yeah, it was
2017.
But time gone fast. That's 2017. Yeah, I remember that because I think either I just came back from away or I was going away somewhere because that's when you started up around in August, right? It was around in August. And trust me, those images up to the date,
those
images, they are still look crisp, still look brand new, and they're still on point. They're still on point. That's why I told my wife earlier in the year. I said, okay, when you see Shirah do his pro headshot this year, you're gonna have to get. And she told me she actually wanted to do something. So I said, so I told her, you know, we actually gonna see how it's gonna work out. And it
worked out.
And definitely worked.
Yeah, definitely worked out.
And yeah, I mean, it's like I told you before when we spoke, it's an awesome vision.
Yeah,
you know, and the workshop. Sorry, I wasn't able to attend the workshop. Because I know the workshop was off the chain.
Yeah, it was fun.
You want to mention just real quick.
Well, this, you know, I always try to make something better.
Right.
I know when I travel, what I leave with is the experience I would have had. And I go to a lot of conferences, I go to a lot of workshops for photographers. And so I'm at home, I want to do something where people walk away feeling the same way, where they're like, wow, that was such an amazing event.
Right.
So this year, it was so funny, one of my close friends, he came by and he said, you need to do a masterclass on branding. And I don't know if anybody would be into that. He's like, no, you need to do a masterclass on branding. He was in a job interview and they asked him about his branding. And he said, well, you know, Sharad mentored me for many years. This is how I was able to build my brand to the point it is today. And they were like, Sharad, oh yeah, yeah. He's really good at that. So he was like, what? You know Sharad is? And because they reacted so like, really? Wow.
Yeah.
Oh my God. So he's like, I think you could really do something.
Right.
And so, you know, we decided to create and produce this masterclass. We added some speakers.
Right.
You know, we tailored it to be more attractive to people who were just getting into business or starting a small business.
Right.
And we added elements like social media, finance, customer service. You know, I brought the branding element. And it was well attended. It was well attended. We had almost, you know, 30 persons, but you know, the space that we had was very intimate. I didn't want like 200 people in the crowd. It would not have done anything for them. I've done workshops where there are 2,000 people, and I've done workshops where there are 12 people, and I love that small classroom environment, very intimate.
Every time.
So I wanted to give that experience to people. So we didn't open it up to too many people.
Right. Yeah, just slots.
Just specific slots, and you know, the reviews that we've gotten on it have been amazing. And then some of those persons attended day two, which was the headshots.
Headshots.
And overall, they are like, this is a quality product, you know, and they spend, you know, not a lot of money, but they get a lot of value for what they pay for.
Yeah.
And definitely. That experience, they walk away saying, I mean, just from them posting online, on Facebook, on Instagram, and their stories, and Snapchat, and Twitter, mm-hmm. people, I that weekend that we were done,
right.
I went out, I was running some errands that week, the week after, and people were like, hey, I saw your event. It looked so successful. Congratulations. When are you doing the next one? It looked really good. And people kept coming at me. Right. And I'm like, wow, like, how did y'all see? And I remembered people were taking pictures and then they posted afterwards. Right. I'm at Pro Headshots. I had such a great time.
Right.
And so many positive comments from the attendees. Mm-hmm. Their friends and their friends' friends and right. friends of their friends saw it. And they were like, well, what is this? Why didn't we go? Oh, I saw the advertisement, but I didn't think it would be, you know.
Right.
So now comes the, when are you doing it again? When are you doing it again?
Right.
Because they want that experience too.
Right.
And I find that we always have this stigma that because you and I live on the same island, mm-hmm. we have this, like, Bahamians can't be creative. Bahamians can't be innovative.
Right.
We can't produce things that are world class. Mm-hmm. But when you find that there are Bahamians that do that, I find that it's refreshing and it's like a breath of fresh air. You know, it's like,
right.
wow, this is so good. This is, you know, a Bahamian is doing this. It makes you feel proud. You know, and you know that's what I live for at the end of the day. You know, and it is a small part of what I do, but it does very well because I try to be consistent with it. For so long.
Definitely. You know, I always tell persons, you know, Bahamians should always support Bahamians, man. We should always, that should always be something that we should do. You know, we shouldn't feel as though that because something came from across the water necessarily means it's better, because we have so much, you know, we have so much value, we have so much content, we have so much creative persons, talented persons, skillful persons right here at home.
Yeah. Agreed.
But even with that being said, you know, being a you know, creative person, you know, you have a lot of passion. You have a lot of drive for all that you do, right? And you are, and I already know that, you know, there's actually huge demand, because it's safe to say certain persons have a niche for certain aspects of photography, but like when you think about photography, your name definitely comes up, and it speaks for volumes of you. But you're recently married,
mm-hmm.
and you have
2 years
beautiful.
This year. Wow.
Two years this year. Tell me, you have a beautiful baby girl, man.
Yeah.
And I know that experiencing that is an awesome experience for you. But can you share with Soul Nation how has it slowed down your creative process, your momentum?
Yeah.
What exactly has it done?
Wow. Excellent question. I thought, you know, when we first found out we were gonna have a baby, I thought, man, this is gonna really affect my work, because babies need so much attention and time and hands-on, like, all the time.
Right.
And, you know, there are two parents involved, so there has to be an equal sort of balance between, you know, mother and father. And I was raised in a home with both parents, so I knew how important it was to have both parents there. So I told myself, okay, this is going to affect my work a lot, because I'm going to be someone who's hands-on, a father who's there, you know, and gives my kids time. And so Riley came along, and I don't know what happened, but Riley brought a ton of blessings when she came out, and my workload has not slowed down. If anything, it has increased. Mm-hmm. And I told my wife, you know, she brought a lot of blessings with her, because I thought I was fearful.
Right.
You know, as a man, you think, well, how am I going to be able to do this and take care of a family at the same time while continuing to do the things that I love?
Right.
And so I was fearful, and I was, you know, I was like, oh man, this is going to change my life. It has changed my life, because, you know, she's my daughter. She's my child. We have another, you know, daughter, but biologically she's not my daughter.
Right.
But she is my daughter. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
So, but having Riley, where Riley is biologically mine, mm-hmm. you know, she has done nothing but bring tons of work, and it's, you know, they say kids are miracles and blessings. Like, that's exactly what this child is, because my workload has doubled since she's come along. And, you know, both my wife and I, we work for ourselves. Mm-hmm. So we're able to be at home with the kids, with the baby. And my wife is like a superwoman, because, you know, she carries the brunt of, you know, taking care of Riley and, you know, making sure that she's good, you know, because she knows that I need to do my work, because right. that's how I provide for my family.
Right.
But at the same time, I'm still able to, because I do work for myself, I can schedule
right.
things, and I can make time for
right.
the family.
Yes.
And enjoy spending time with my new daughter. Mm-hmm. And I can be happy and find right. fulfillment in just holding her
right.
or feeding her or right. watching her learn how to stand or try to talk, or mm-hmm. she's sitting up now on her own, which is oh, crazy, and she's not even 6 months yet.
It begins.
And then, so, mm-hmm. so to me, watching all those milestones that she's having and just finding her to be so inquisitive about everything, and she wants to touch everything and put everything in her mouth, and she wants to see everything, and it's an incredible feeling,
right.
you know, to watch your child grow up. But at the same time, what she's brought to me as a business person and as a creative has, you know, I want to work harder. I want more opportunities. I
right.
want to do more with my work and my craft to be able to give her those opportunities that I didn't have.
Right.
So that's what it's done for me. I mean, everybody has a different story. Everybody has a different experience, but that's definitely what it's done for me.
Wow. You know, and it's actually two things that you mentioned just now. That's very important, and something that I talk about all the time. And that is one. Once you see a man finds a wife, he automatically has a new level of favor
mm-hmm.
on his life. That's automatic.
That's for more sure.
Like whatever favor you had before, it was doubled.
Yeah.
Once you find a wife.
Yeah.
Once you find a wife, and I want to say this, and I hope this doesn't offend any of our listening audience, but it's something about when you have a child in marriage. Like God, he doesn't want to see any of his children begging bread. I don't want you to misunderstand what I'm saying. But it's something on a spiritual level that adds more value to you. You know, and poison's the thing because we're talking about mad folks now. People think because, you know, you have one child, three children that is going to add a burden to you. Yes, there's going to be some challenges, but there's a blessing that comes, and God does never want to see any of his children begging bread. So I can definitely understand what you're thinking, because you know you're thinking that, you know, things are going to slow down because you're not going to be able to do certain things,
mm-hmm.
and you just watch the floodgates just come open, because
yeah.
because God already knows your heart,
yeah,
and he knows that you're the father, you are the husband, you're the provider. So he's going to definitely open up more doors.
Yeah, I agree 100% with that. I agree 100% with that, because that's what I've seen. I've seen it with my own eyes, and I've seen
right.
it happen and come to fruition. You know, people always think, I mean, kids are a huge responsibility, huge.
Oh, yeah.
But like you say, you know, having a wife is a real support system.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, when you have a partner that understands, you know, my role is to take, you know, what you cannot do, and help you with it. You know, a wife is a helpmate, right?
Yes.
And so that's what my wife has been for me, especially getting so much more work than I have ever had before.
Right.
She, you know, she comes in and she takes care of Riley, and she makes sure that, I mean, sometimes what she started doing is, if both girls are home, I can't get any work done, right? Because they both, well, Layla's about to be a teenager, so she's not so much, she's not as needy as she used to be.
Right.
But Riley is very, like, she loves attention.
Right. Right?
And we have to watch her constantly because mm-hmm. she can't do for herself.
Right.
Right? And so when both girls are home, I very rarely get any work done.
Right.
You know, so I'm in a house with three women. So mm-hmm. my wife and two daughters.
Right.
And they all require some level of time or, you yes. know, from me.
Definitely. Totally
understand. And when they're home, right. it's hard for me to get stuff done.
Right.
Even if I'm working, my wife will come sit down next to me and talk to me, and I'll be like, babe, I gotta finish some work right now. I can't really talk, right?
Right.
But you know, she wants to talk,
right?
You know, I like just holding my daughter, and I like just looking at her, and yeah. and her laugh and her smile is just. Yeah. I feel it's like energy, you know,
yeah.
like it's like,
oh, yeah.
it's like taking like a, like pre-workout.
Right.
You know, you take pre-workout, yeah. you just
ready.
Like when I see her smile, I'm like, oh, but yeah, man, like, you know, Tanya has come in and she'll take the girls for a drive, or she'll right. take them out so mm-hmm. that I can have the house focus. And I can focus on what I mean, like yep. that's amazing to me,
right.
man. That's yep. amazing to me. So. You know, I only know that what God has in store for us is we haven't seen, definitely haven't seen like the end goal, right? Because
right.
you know, just things have taken. We got married, we had the baby, and things have just taken off.
Yeah. I mean, like you actually went. Everything went to a whole.
Yeah, world. I thought I was doing good, right? I thought I was successful before, but found a wife, had a baby, and now it's like.
Tell me, boy.
10 times.
And guess what? All of the men who are tuned in to this podcast, I just want to let you know that when you find the right person, when you find your purpose partner, whether you're male, well, this is for the male and the women. Whenever you find your purpose partner, whatever God has in store for you, you always go to another
yeah.
level. You always go to another level. You know why? Because you all are adding value to each other
mm-hmm.
always.
Mm-hmm.
You're always adding value. It's not a parasite. You're not the person isn't draining you. Your purpose partner isn't draining you. You all are in sync. Now mind you, all of this doesn't happen right away.
Oh, of course not. There's definitely a learning curve.
Because you got to keep in mind, you have two persons coming
mm-hmm.
coming together.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're raising two different households.
Yeah.
You have two of different
personalities.
Yeah. Personalities, perspectives.
Everything.
And there are actually a whole bunch of differences that actually sometimes and at some level clash.
Mm-hmm.
So like your communication with your family, with your wife. I mean, do you all have to sit down a daily basis or on weekly basis to make sure? Because what I tell persons, and this is important, every day you're changing, you're growing,
mm-hmm.
and if your communication to your spouse is not, it doesn't have to be every day, but if you have to talk every day, but it should be every other day because you're always changing. So like, what do you all do to make sure that your feelings,
yeah.
your opinions are always heard and valued.
Yeah. Well, you know, when you. You know, people say the first year is always the hardest, right? Uh-huh. Because especially if you've never lived together up until after you've gotten married, which is
right.
the situation that I was in.
Right.
And we, you know, different, like you say, different personalities, different perspective. And it's all amplified once you're put under one roof.
Yes.
And so, you know, our communication, we communicated. We've never had a problem communicating, but it's just the way we communicated
right.
is where we found the challenge to be,
mm-hmm.
how we communicated things to one another, how we expressed our feelings, you know,
yep.
Especially in times of disagreement.
Mm-hmm.
It's always, I find it's probably one of the biggest challenges couples have because you're two different people.
Right.
You're two individuals. You have your way. She has her way.
Right.
And when you find that those two aren't in sync, it's when you get that friction, right? That
yes.
that butting heads where you can't move forward in the same direction. And you really have to sit down and, you know, I went through many nights where I had to mentally tell myself, you know, you're in this for the long run. You have to work it out. This is who you want to be with. You have to figure it out. You've got to figure it out. And, you know, as a wife and a woman, you know, when you take on a husband, I think that women kind of feel the same way also. Mm-hmm. And so that you work together, right? A marriage is two people. So you work together. You work along with each other. She's your partner, right? So you figure things out together.
Yeah.
And it definitely gets better. You know, you learn how to communicate better. You learn how to say, okay, hey, I don't agree with you in a more respectful and a more loving way. And, you know, and then you learn the beauty of just saying, okay. Like my dad told me, the two most important words every man must know in his life is yes, dear. Right? Because those two words will carry you far in marriage, right? So, you know, sometimes she'll be going on and on about something and I'll just be like, okay, whatever you want to do, it's fine. You know, and then there are those moments where I say, no, I don't agree with you. I don't think we need to do that. We need to focus on this and move in this direction.
Right.
And, you know, women don't like to be told that they're wrong or, you know, they want their way all the time.
Right.
So, you know, it has its challenges, but when you're both in sync and when you're both learning each other,
right,
which is what I think marriage is. Every day you learn each other, every day you grow, every day you change. You change together, you grow together, you learn each other together, so that it makes the navigating and the driving a little bit more, makes the journey a little bit more smoother.
Right.
Yeah, that's what I believe.
So how important do you think for a family? How important do you think it is for a father to have a vision for his family?
Well, I'm not a big like Bible study person. I can't say, well, Leviticus 2 verse 3 says that blah. But I do know that in the Bible, when you there are verses that speak to your role as the man.
Right.
That say, you know, you are the head of your home, the way, you know, Jesus is the head of the church.
Right.
Right? And I think what you have to understand your strengths in the marriage and your role in the marriage.
Right.
So as a man, you are seen as the provider. You provide for your family.
Right.
Your wife looks to you for a lot of things. One, security. Two, protection. And three, leadership. Because if she is a Christian or a God-fearing woman, she understands that's what God wants for you in the marriage. Mm-hmm. You're the man, you are the head, right? Mm-hmm. The woman is the neck. She supports you.
Right.
So when you make a decision and you say, no, babe, we can't do that, we have to focus on this.
Right.
She'll row and carry on, but at the end of the day, she'll say, you know what, you were right. Let's do it like that. Mm-hmm. That's why she comes to you every day, babe, how do I look? She wants, you know, it's interesting, you know, your wife is almost, you know, she's, you know, from young age to old age, women never change. They want the same things. Mm-hmm. They want love, they want time, they want affection.
Right.
From birth,
right,
straight to old age.
Right.
So your wife looks to you for that leadership. Mm-hmm. Right. Not saying that the woman can't lead.
Right.
Our wives are similar. Like, they're very, they have alpha personalities, right? Mm-hmm. They can lead other women.
Right.
They can lead men, right? They're very focused and goal-driven, right? And their drive is crazy.
Right.
So my wife she's similar to me. She has drive, she has goals. She sees herself, she sets something that she wants to achieve and she goes after it.
Right.
And those are qualities that any woman that you look to as a wife, they must have, Mm-hmm. So, but there are times when that spiritual battery kicks in, when that faith kicks in and she knows, this is my husband. What he says, I follow him. Right. Where he goes, I go with him. Mm-hmm. What he does, I support him.
Right.
And so that puts you up here. Mm-hmm. So whatever you, when that puts you up here, you can say, okay, I want to do pro headshots in Freeport. I want to do pro headshots in Eleuthera. Mm. Why would she say, I don't think that's a good idea? If she looks to you for leadership and vision, she's going to say, let's go, right? You'll come, especially when she knows that you after you've achieved one thing, you're going to go to the next thing.
Right.
Right? And she knows, because she would not have married you if she didn't think that you were goal-driven.
Right.
Because no woman wants a man who's going to sit on the block.
No.
No woman wants a man who's going to just be lazy. She doesn't look to you as a leader. She looks to you as just somebody on the side.
Right.
When she sees you as goal-getter, goal-driven, you go after things and you actually achieve those things, that is going to attract her to you more, make you more attractive to her than any other trait.
Right.
You know, you could be Mr. Olympia. You could have the best body. But if you have no purpose, she's not going to be interested in you. Not to make you a lifetime partner.
No.
But if you come and say, look, there are things that I want to do.
Right.
I have set goals for myself. Mm-hmm. Either you coming or you ain't coming.
Right.
What woman is that kind of, she's going to fall in love with you right away.
Right.
Because every woman wants that man who is, that take charge, that leader. Every woman wants to be with a man. I don't care what you say, right?
You're absolutely right.
And so when you have that vision for your family and you say, I don't want us to be here. I want us to be over here, right? I want us to take the girls and we're going to go here. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. And then it trickles down to the family. So at the end of the day, every time we make a step forward, we're making a step forward.
Right.
So when you come and you sit down with your wife and say, this is what I want to do.
Right.
I think women respect you more when you come and you say, no, I understand what you're saying, but this is what I want for us.
Right.
And she supports you and y'all work together to get to that point.
Right. Yeah. This actually goes back to what we spoke about earlier about communication. Because you know, this happens in our home all the time. Because my wife, she made something a situation happen, right? And she made her feel upset about it, right? But I tend to let her see it from a different
perspective,
a different view, a different perspective. Because we must realize as men, you know, which this point I'm going to make is really hard sometimes. You have to somehow discern. You have to somehow discern when she just wants you to just listen.
Oh man,
This is hard.
Yeah.
Hard. You have to know when she wants you to listen.
Yeah.
You have to know when she wants she wants you to respond. You have to know when she wants you to understand.
Oh my goodness, yeah.
And you have to know when she just want to hug.
Yeah, yeah.
And
it's
hard.
It is hard.
It's hard. Finding that balance. Which one goes when?
You gotta. It's like studying. You gotta know what answer is the correct answer for the question at that point in time.
At that point in time.
I get chewed out all the time because my wife is like, no, you're supposed to be empathetic. You can't even just come over and hug me and say it'll be okay. And then, you know, like, but you're coming to me with a problem. Yeah. So as a guy, I'm not even thinking, okay, how can I fix this?
Right.
I'm like, you what? It's so funny because I don't know if you ever seen the meme. It says, a book on how to keep men happy. It's like this thick. Right. And then there's a book next to it that says, the book how to keep women happy. And it's like this. It's like this thing, right?
Right.
And it's so true. It's so true because I'm like, I never know if it's just to listen or if it's just to hug or if it's just to say, okay, this is what you need to do. You need to do A, B, C, D. It's hard, man. It's hard.
Trust me, it's hard.
Because you don't know what response they're looking for. Man. Yeah.
It's one thing I'm learning right now. I'm learning to hear what they're not saying.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a gift.
That is a gift. That is a gift that not every man has the ability to execute.
Yeah, that's
when you can hit, listen between the lines. Trust me, I still try to perfect that.
That's tough.
I'm still trying to perfect that.
Don't feel bad.
No, I don't. I'm still trying to perfect that. I know I'm not the only guy dealing with that.
Don't feel bad at all. So like, how are you? You know, all of us are new fathers, stuff like that. A couple years in, I'm almost 3 years in. You've had Tonya's girl. She has been mm-hmm. been in your life for a while. You have Riley now. She's 5 months.
She's going on. She'll be 6 months. This same month.
Same month, right?
Wow. Yeah. Wow. Is correct.
So, like, how are you? I know growth on some level is going to happen anyhow, right? But like, how are you being intentional on becoming a better father figure? All of them for both girls.
Mm-hmm. Well, my relationship with both girls is so different mm-hmm. because, you know, Layla is on the verge of being a, well, she says tween, right? Mm-hmm. On the verge of becoming a teenager.
Right.
And so, like I said, she's grown to the point where she doesn't necessarily need the attention from me as
right.
much.
Right.
Because she's now into her phone, she's into her laptop, you right. know, hanging with her friends. Mm-hmm. Like, that's what she's into. But she still appreciates family time, right? So we make it a point every Friday night. We have family night. We have movie right. night. So we rent a movie and we order a pizza.
Right.
And she looks forward to that every Friday, you know, and, you know, it's going to be some problems if something comes up where we can't do it.
Right.
So that's something that's important to her, mm-hmm. having both of us together in the home. Mm-hmm. So I'm always trying to be intentional with that. I'm always trying to encourage her. I'm always trying to... You know, we aren't best friends. Like she will talk to her mom about everything,
right?
Because her and her mom have that relationship. They
right.
talk.
Yeah.
But if there's a problem, if she feels scared, mm-hmm. that she knows that she has the security because that's the environment that I laid out for,
right.
for us.
Right.
So food and shelter and, you know, her education mm-hmm. are the things that are important to me. That's the exact same relationship that I had with my father growing up. Mm-hmm. You know, my mom was always the more softer mm-hmm. side of the two, but mm-hmm. my mom was still very, we didn't get away with everything,
right.
you know? But my mom, her and I had a different relationship from me and my dad.
Right.
So Layla and I sort of have that relationship where, you know, she won't come to me and say, guess what happened at school today? Oh my God, this girl said this, and then this other girl didn't like, and she doesn't do that with me because she knows
right.
I'm not interested,
right?
Right? But in terms of, you know, her being able to have lunch and meals and, you know, school and, you know, the necessities.
Yeah.
She trusts me to, you know, she knows that that's my role, and
yeah.
she respects me and we talk, mm-hmm. but we don't like have girl talk, but we mm-hmm. talk.
Yeah, right.
Riley and I are a little bit different because Riley is, she's the baby, right? So
right.
I'm like a teddy bear when I hover, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, wow, this is a little me, right?
Right.
And I see so much of what I do in the things that she's doing.
Wow.
And it's amazing to look at her and see her development every single day.
Right.
And she behaves differently with her mother than she does with me. She's so smart, man. Kids are
yep.
so smart these days. She knows when she's with mommy and she knows when she's with daddy.
Right.
So when she's with me, she's chill. We watch SportsCenter. She yeah. likes to watch sports.
Right.
You know, she could sit in my lap and we could watch like SportsCenter in the morning.
Yeah.
And she'll just sit there and chill. Like
right.
her facial expression is like, I'm with daddy.
Yeah,
don't
with
bother
daddy.
Me.
Right.
Right. I'm with daddy. Don't bother me right now.
Mm.
You know, she falls asleep. Even when she was a much, much younger. And when we had just brought her home, she was a little thing. She was, you know, this big.
Right.
She would fall asleep on my chest, and she would put her ear over my heartbeat because mm-hmm. apparently it calms them down because
right.
they recognize the sound from even when they were in the womb.
Yes.
So up to this day, if I put her on my chest, she will fall asleep and put her ear right back there, and it's just like, oh man, like this is what it's all about, you
yeah.
know. And so, you know, I talk to her and I try to, you know, reassure her, you know, that, you know, you're such a beautiful girl.
Right.
You're going to do great things. You know,
right.
you speak things into your kids that you,
right.
and they become them.
Yeah.
Right.
That's important.
And that's very, very important. So, you know, and I speak to her like an adult, right? So if she's doing something wrong, like spitting or, you know, she's 5 months, so she'll spit.
Right. So, you know.
She has a toy, she likes to throw it, like she'll fling it. And I'll be like, Riley, that's not right. You can't do that. I'll be like, Riley, you have to calm down now. You're making a little bit too much noise,
right?
Mm-hmm. And she will look at me like she understands what I'm saying, right? These kids are like super advanced. So my relationship is different with both daughters. But I think that's the dynamic of family.
Right.
It's a dynamic.
Yeah.
No two kids are the same.
No. Uh-uh.
And so your relationship with one is not going to be the exact same as the other. Now, your foundation as a parent is to be, you be firm, you teach your kids right from wrong, and you provide for them.
Right.
That doesn't change. But every kid is different because every kid is an individual. We were all made unique to be unique.
Right.
So Layla's not the same as Riley. And even the two girls together, they have a different relationship than let's say that Layla would have with her mom or me, or Riley would have with me or her mom. And it's different, you know, it's really, really different. But at the end of the day, once the foundation is there, you know, I definitely want both girls to have a platform where they can express themselves, where they don't feel too held back, but they also understand right from wrong and how to treat people and that drive. I definitely want to instill that drive in both of my kids.
Awesome. Yeah, so Soul Nation, we just heard from Sherrod Lightborn, creative director. This whole episode was full with nuggets from branding to photography, to fatherhood, and just a little bit of being a husband as well.
Yeah.
But Sherrod, for all of the Soul Nation, the listening audience, who may want to connect with you, see your work, and possibly see all of the great work because I believe you have a vlog as well, right?
Yeah, my blog is a part of my website. I just recently started a YouTube channel. I'm on Instagram and Facebook, and you can find me by searching the handle Sherrod L Photo. So SCHARADLPHOTO. It's my website domain, SherrodLPhoto.com. It's Facebook, it's Instagram, it's LinkedIn, it's YouTube, it's everything. So you can find me just by using that handle, and you can connect with me, you know, on any platform.
All right, awesome. Soul Nation, we just took flight. Oh man, this was an awesome.
I like that, awesome. Took flight. Yeah, I like that.
awesome episode that is a part of our Empowerment Month. Because I strongly believe that our fathers need to be honored. Our fathers need to know that they have value in the home and in the community as well. And so Nation, you know as I always say, an aircraft right before it takes flight can only take off within its maximum takeoff weight. And if you haven't heard these words before, know that it's your time to soar.
I believe I can soar.
Thank you for listening to It's Your Time to Soar. If you haven't already, be sure to subscribe, share, and leave a review.